Happy Valentine's Day and welcome back to the 8th episode of Hang With Lane. I think it's been a couple weeks since I put one out, probably actually almost like a month because I was sick and I couldn't do it. I couldn't really do anything. I had COVID again. We gotta love the grummy little germs of children. I think that's what we have to blame for that one. I'm gonna go with that. Working at a school and around children, that kind of stuff happens. It is what it is. I'm gonna start wearing my glasses to kind of shield the germs maybe so they don't go straight into my eyes. But yeah, happy Valentine's Day, everyone listening. I know you probably won't be listening on Valentine's Day, but that is when I'm recording this lovely episode for your enjoyment and my therapy. So it's exciting. I like making these. It's good for me to, you know, get my thoughts out on a platform that may be enjoyable to others. Maybe my ramblings are entertaining to you. I mean, some people have asked about it, asked where it's at, and I'm happy to be doing it again. And I just wanted to start off with saying that I think that this is like the first official Valentine's Day that I don't feel at all bitter or angry about quote unquote being alone. Because in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. And I've really kind of figured out through trying to navigate online dating and dating in general is that if I really, really wanted to be with someone, I would. You know how they kind of say that if he wanted to, he would thing? I kind of flip that around on myself and say if I wanted to, I would. And it's not that I'm closed my heart off to love completely. I'm just saying if I really, really wanted to have someone and it didn't matter who, I could have one. I feel like I've been on a journey for such a long time of self-love and trying to be okay with myself and, you know, learning to love myself, as cliche as that sounds. I think that's the most important because I feel like as a hopeless romantic, I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but I also feel like I used to always just think that someday someone was going to come along and everything was going to be perfect and that I was just going to be okay and like that being with that person was just going to make my life perfect. And I've come to realize that, especially if you rely on external like sources, it's never going to make you happy. Like, I don't want to say happiness comes within. And that's like cliche to say. I'm not going to say that. And I definitely have struggled with my mental health in the recent months. So I'm not acting like if you just choose to be happy, you'll be happy, because it's not that simple. But I'm just saying if you look for external validation, it's easy to be unhappy. If, I guess, better to say, if external validation is the only thing that brings you joy, then you're bound to be unhappy. If that makes sense. I don't know if it makes sense, but that's just kind of what I've been thinking about. I wrote down some notes of things I was thinking about, and it made me think of how I ended up even using dating sites in the first place. I was walking into the grocery store and I just thought of this and I wrote it down and I said, if you want external validation, that's so easy to get to the point where you, but to get to a point where you can look in the mirror, that's hard work. And basically my point in saying that is just that getting to a place where you're comfortable with yourself is a lot of hard internal work. But getting external validation for others is especially easy with the rise of dating apps. I mean, it's so easy. And it makes me think of how everyone hates ghosters, and I hate ghosters, but at the same time, I feel like, especially if you don't leave the app, like, you don't really owe that other person anything, I feel like, until it's, like, serious or something. But I definitely have ghosted people because I was too scared to just be honest and tell them that I wasn't interested. So, on the topic of ghosting, I actually had another thing written in my notes that I thought was pretty, compelling. I don't know. And it's, will be my official quote for, think of it as a formal apology to everyone that I've ever ghosted, because let's face it, it's been more than one. I'm so sorry if I ever ghosted you. I either forgot that you existed or no longer wish to be perceived. And though that's true, I also think that when texts sit there for too long, you know, you're like, I can't respond now. It's been way too long, and I'm just going to sound like a jerk if I respond now anyway. Especially to be like, yeah, no, I'm not interested. Because I feel like no message is still a message, right? Like, it's telling the other person, like, no, I don't want to be with you. Like, I don't know. In the times that I feel like that I've been ghosted, it's been a clear message, and I already knew the answer. So, as much as it sucks, and maybe it's not the proper thing to do or emotionally mature thing to do, I think ghosting is all about the ghoster. And I can say that as a professional ghoster. I mean, I don't want to say that. That probably makes me sound really bad. But it is what it is. I'm willing to admit that I have a lot of internal work left to do. And, yeah, it just kind of is what it is, right? I mean, it is what it is till it ain't anymore. Casey Musgraves, if anyone caught that. I don't know. I just wanted to have, like, a special Valentine's Day podcast, maybe. Talk about love and all that fun stuff. And I thought a fun little story would be to talk about the one and only time I had a Valentine. I was in fourth grade, and I had a fourth grade boyfriend, and he got me a necklace that was like his mom's or his sister's or something. And I guess I got in trouble for that, but yeah, I really think about that experience because, like, yeah, elementary school, it's not like a real relationship, but I feel like that was, like, the first time a boy ever looked at me like I didn't have cooties. And so it was an exciting time for me, right? So, I don't know. I just think it was cute because we were, like, you know, little playground friends playing tag and whatnot. And then all of a sudden you're asking if they want to go out. But, like, in fourth grade, like, go out where? Like, you literally can't go out anywhere when you're in fourth grade. Like, I remember, like, he would call me after school, like, on my home phone. Because, you know, like, this was in, like, 2009 or something. Who knows when it was? I don't know. But I remember he called me. He would call me. And he, like, would tell me, like, I remember one time he was like, oh, yeah, I got the spelling bee tonight. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, good luck. Like, you know, just like little kid shit. I don't know. I just think there's something so innocent about elementary school love, you know? And then I think one of the really weird things that makes me think is I feel like it was in preschool. I had this crush on this little redheaded boy named Andrew, and I still remember his name, what that his name was Andrew and that he was a redhead, but that's literally all I remember about him. And I still think about it sometimes. So I wonder if I was anyone's preschool crush and they still think about me. Hard to say. I just think it's interesting to think about, you know, the way that you could have impacted someone's life. It makes me think about this, like, Twitter or Tumblr quote type era thing that was like, oh, you see yourself in the mirror all the time and you think you're ordinary, but you don't know how beautiful you would look to a stranger. And I like to think about that. Like, can you imagine how beautiful you might look to a stranger? I mean, you might. I'm sure all the time in public, people might look at you and think, wow, like, want me some of that. But also it kind of still makes me think about the male gaze and all of that stuff. And I don't really have time to unpack all of that. But the fact that from the time women are young, they are, like, socialized to believe that they have to physically be presenting in their best way possible, or, like, they're lazy or all those other things. I feel like a lot of that just doesn't happen to men. Like, it just doesn't. Like, not in the same way. Not from such a young age. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong. If there's any men out there listening, which I know there's at least one, my biggest fan, tell me. Let me know. Let me know your thoughts. I always ask for them every week anyway, so let me know. But yeah. This has been so good to be back at this. I'm really sorry if I'm talking super fast, but I'm sitting in my new room because I finally have bedroom furniture again. I'm sitting on my actual bed. Feels good. I've been watching a lot of Gilmore Girls lately, and it made me think about how every relationship pretty much on a TV show or a movie is always, like, kind of toxic. And I think it's because, like, a healthy, stable relationship, that would not make for good television. And it kind of makes me think of that whole thing where people are like, oh, I don't like this show because it's not very realistic, or the storylines never make sense. And, you know, shows like that are sometimes my guilty pleasure. Like, for example, Riverdale. Lots of people think it's really bad. And yeah, they might be right. Maybe it is trash television, but 'tis a guilty pleasure of mine. I literally get so excited to watch it every single week. I literally watch it every single week without fail when it's on. Like, I know on Wednesday night that it's time to watch Riverdale. And they just have, like, a 7-year time jump to, like, after high school. And I'm like, oh my god, this is so interesting. I'm so excited. I don't know. I love that show. I know lots of people don't like it, but it's a guilty pleasure of mine. Shows don't have to be real life. I feel like shows can be entertaining. That makes me think of the other show I really love. It's 911. But it's the Texas one, so it's called 911 Lone Star. And they have, like, all these 911 calls, and they're obviously, like, sometimes a little bit, like, insane, like, you know, that wouldn't really probably happen. But do you know how boring it would be if it wasn't over the top extravagant every week? Like, the drama between all of, like, the firefighters and all that stuff, and then, like, the added, like, crazy, like, events. I love it. I live for the drama. Like, I think people forget that shows are a main form of entertainment. And the first thing of a show is to entertain. And I think some people think that shows should all be, like, meaningful. But I think if you think about it like that, that just feels a little bit too much like an after-school special to me. Like, if shows all had, like, some big, huge, grandiose meaning, is that would just be too, like, after-school special for me. I don't know. Let me know what you think. I'm looking for feedback on this whenever to, like, the 6 or 7 of you that listen. Like, let me know. Also, I want to make a TikTok for this specifically, and then maybe, like, put clips of the audio and then kind of get the word out a little bit more. I mean, I like doing this, and I really only do it for myself and, like, you know, the few friends that I have begged to listen to it and that do because they love me. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like if I could, more people could hear this, like, it might, like, make them feel less alone. Because, I mean, that's why I listen to podcasts, is so that I can feel connected and, like, less alone, and feel like knowing other people's experiences really helps me understand my own. And that's why I really want to get someone on here. So if you're listening right now and you want to come on and you want me to have, like, a conversation with you, if you want to hang with Lane, literally let me know. We'll do it. It'll be great. I can't wait. But yeah, this has been so fun to record. But yeah, I don't know why people think TV shows have to be like real life, because I feel like they were like real life, they would be mundane and boring. And yes, all relationships in TV shows and movies are kind of toxic, but the good news is if you're able to recognize the toxicity of those relationships, then you're bound to be able to know a healthy one when you see one, you know? So think about it like that. It makes me think of like The Notebook and stuff. Like how you think about like the Ferris wheel scene and how he's like hanging off the Ferris wheel. It's kind of toxic. But I mean, I love The Notebook. And I feel like The Notebook isn't supposed to be a representation of real life. Like, I think, yeah, maybe in media we should sometimes have positive representation of relationships because it kind of can give off the wrong idea to impressionable young minds, right? Like, as someone who grew up watching, like, rom-coms and would consider myself a hopeless romantic, I do think that I have always wanted a love that is like the movies. And I think you can still have a love that's like the movies and not toxic. It makes me think of like when I talked about sparks and all that kind of stuff. And my friend, she told me sparks were real. And I feel like I felt them before. So, I mean, I don't know. For me, it's hard to tell the difference between sparks or just plain old anxiety, right? I mean, I don't know. It's interesting to think about. Is it sparks? Is it anxiety? Is it indigestion? Is it my IBS acting up? Hard to tell. Hard to say for sure. But I do know one thing. As cliche as it sounds, I don't know. I think love is worth the wait, you know? And I feel like if everything hadn't played out the exact way that it's played out in my life, that I'd be a completely different person. And I like the person that I've become over time. So can I get mad about the way life has led me? No, not really. But I definitely want to be more open to the idea of love. But I don't know. I'm waiting for that movie moment, I suppose. The grand gesture. I don't know. I've done the longing and the pining for so long that it would be nice to not have to do that, or to just know, you know, like with chemistry and all that kind of stuff, like to know, like that you're going to vibe and everything's going to work out right. I feel like that would be good to have an idea, because right now I have like no idea. But seriously, I definitely think we shouldn't expect shows to be real life. But on another topic, I was just thinking of, like, I know I've already talked about, like, love languages and stuff, but I had this quick thought of, like, how is it that love language, one of my love languages is definitely physical touch, yet the idea of anyone touching me just sounds awful. Also, one of my, like, big red flags, I feel like, on the dating apps is when guys have their love languages physical touch. Like, I'm scared of them. I'm scared. Maybe it's because I don't think that men are smart enough to know that having physical touch is your love language and, like, being horny are two different things. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, like, when I say that my love language is, like, physical touch, like, that means I want, like, hugs and cuddles and forehead kisses and hand-holding, you know? I think maybe I just assume, and maybe it's not what I should do, you know? I assume when men have physical touch as their love language that they're just thinking of, like, the sexual acts involved with relationships, and maybe that's a unfair bias of mine that I should work through. That also reminds me, it's talking about biases, it reminds me of how I literally tried to fight someone on my discussion post for college, like, because she was talking about setting aside our biases, and I'm like, what? Like, I feel like with biases and stuff, shouldn't you, like, because a lot of biases are, like, unconscious, so shouldn't you work to fight against them? I mean, not just be like, I mean, maybe, like, for example, someone would be like, oh, I hate poor people. Well, I'm just going to set that aside and treat my students kindly. No, I think more with biases, you should be like, oh, I know this, or I think this about a certain group of people. I should set that aside. No, not, that's what the girl was saying. You should actively work against those biases and the stereotypes you have about people. I don't know. I think I'm just, I don't know why I was trying to fight people on my discussion post. I really probably shouldn't do that, I would say. It's probably not something I need to do, right? But I was feeling frisky. And I really wasn't trying to start a fight. I just noticed that she said that and it confused me. So really, I did just put, like, that her saying that confused me. Which I think is a fair assessment. You know. I just thought of, like, a great title for if I ever, like, wrote a book, which I don't think I would write, like, a memoir book, but, like, I feel like a great way to describe my personality and myself and, like, my awkwardness towards love would be The Accidental Seductress, because I feel like, you know, I'm really good at accidentally flirting with someone and, you know, making them, you know, I don't want to not be like that. I don't know. This episode's getting weird. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know. It's Valentine's Day today, which means all the Valentine's Day candy tomorrow will be half off or, like, basically free. So that's a good deal. Also, I really thought about buying myself flowers today and, like, posting it on my Snapchat story just to see if my hoes would react. Some of them have told me happy Valentine's Day. I think they're being good little boys. This makes me sound awful. I'm so sorry. And I think I'm going to post this on my Snapchat story. So now they're going to know if they listen to this that I think they're good little boys. So shout out to them. There's not really that many. I'm just joking. Or am I? Hard to say. I just think Valentine's Day is so much more than, like, romantic love to me, and sure, it's, like, super commercialized and, like, all the gifts and stuff, but I don't know, I just feel like appreciating the different types of love that aren't necessarily romantic love is, like, so, so important, because there's so much more to love than romantic love. Romantic love is such a small part, like, of the grand scheme of things. It's so small. I mean, it's important, too. But it's just not the biggest and most important thing. It's just not. And I don't know. I used to think that romantic love and having someone and being with someone was the end all be all. And I think I already talked about this, and that it would just, like, magically fix all my problems and make me happy. And the longer I realized that, like, the only person who can fix my problems and make me happy is me. Like, you know, the only person that the most important relationship in my life is the one that I have with myself. And I was talking with a friend about how, like, I feel like I've changed a lot over the years, but I've also grown, like, I've also not changed. Like, there's some very basic standards to my life that haven't really changed that much, but then there's a lot of stuff that just has, you know, and for the better, of course. You know, I'm less insecure, I'm more grounded in who I am and who I want to be and how I'm gonna get there, and I'm more okay with, like, being on my own, and to the point where I'm almost, like, scared scared to be vulnerable, to the point where I won't ever let anyone in. Yeah, well, sorry, guys. This is starting to sound like therapy. Probably not what we needed. But, you know, I'm just trying to think. I had some things specifically that I wanted to talk about, and of course I can't remember and I didn't write them down, so it happens. I don't know. And I think one of the greatest things, like, this year and being comfortable in myself has given me is, like, when I see, like, posts on Facebook of, like, Valentine's Day posts and relationships or on any social media, instead of it making me angry or upset or feel lonely, it doesn't. It makes me feel happy, like, that people are happy, and then it does make me think about, like, the people that are overdramatic about it. Like, are they really that happy? I don't know. And I hope they are. I really hope, genuinely, that everyone who acts super happy on social media about their partner is genuinely that happy. I don't wish anything. I don't wish any ill will on anyone. You know? Like, I want everyone to be happy. Because I think everyone deserves to be happy. Truly. I really do. This is an order list, and I forgot about it, but this is songs that hurt me this week. We'll just narrow it down to this month. Number one, All I Ask by Adele. The line in that song that really gets me is, like, when she says, if this is the last night with you, hold me like I'm more than just a friend. Like, ugh. I don't know. And then Godspeed by Frank Ocean. I don't know if you guys remember, like, the TikTok thing where that audio was going around where it was like, I let go of my claim on you. It's a free world. Like, oh, yes. That feeling of just, like, letting go of someone that you really wanted to be with. Like, so relatable. Also, another TikTok song. But when I made this list, it wasn't a TikTok song quite yet. It's Not the Same Anymore by Rex Orange County. When he says, well, the TikTok part is like, wow, I look so weird here, my face has changed. And yeah, that makes me think of, like, when you look at old pictures. I was looking at old pictures the other day, and it made me, like, so nostalgic of the past, but it also made me kind of sad to think of, like, how insecure and unhappy I was, you know? And then also on here, I have New Year's Day by Taylor Swift from the Reputation album, the last song on the album. Those are all songs that hurt me this week, but let's see if I can find any other songs that emotionally scarred me. Oh yes, Is It Just Me by Emily Burns. Yeah, that emotionally scarred me today too. And then I think what was so wonderful to me this week is when I listened to the re-recorded version of Love Story by Taylor Swift. Honestly, it made me emotional. I literally felt like I was gonna cry. Don't know why. I was, like, listening to it in my car and I was, like, gonna cry. Which is so weird. But I think it was probably just, like, the nostalgia behind the song Love Story. And I guess that whole album of Fearless definitely is nostalgic to me, but I think her debut album is nostalgic to me too, because it makes me think of, like, the song Teardrops on My Guitar, and when she's like, Drew looks at me because his name is, like, Drew, and it makes me think of, like, when I was in elementary school, like, there was this kid named Drew that, like, every, like, little girl was in love with, for what reason. Like, he's kind of crusty now, no offense, but, like, it made me think of that song and how I so desperately was, like, I would just be like, oh, and he's the reason for the tear. As if in second grade you, like, know anything about love. Like, girl, no, absolutely not. I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to listen to all of her re-recordings as she releases them to kind of, you know, get to look at things from a new perspective. I mean, I can't really wait to listen to her music after, like, a breakup or something, and, like, I actually experiencing love. Not that I want to get my heart broken. But it would be good to feel something and, you know, maybe get to scream the way I loved you, you know, scream screaming and fighting and kissing in the rain, it's 2 a.m. and I'm cursing your name. That sounds kind of toxic, but, like, the passion. I don't know. And I feel like love, you know, mellows out with time. And there's, like, the heavy influence of, like, lust, you know? It's hard to pin down. But, I don't know. I feel like it's easy to ask that question and be like, oh, what is love? Right? What is love? Heck if I know. At this point, heck if I know. I have no idea what love is. Do any of us really know what love is? It's hard. It's like, you can think of love as like the perspective of a fleeting feeling, or you can look at it as a choice and a commitment to love and honor someone every day. And that does make me think about, like, friends with benefits and all that kind of, like, stuff. Like, I've always thought about it, and I'm like, no, that just would never work for me. I feel like that would just be, like, sharing the vulnerable parts of my body, like, and for what? I don't know. For me, I mean, if that's your jam, that's your jam. But I think for me, like, sharing the intimacies and vulnerable parts of myself with others is something I only would like to reserve for a relationship or someone who was extremely meaningful to me. I don't know. I just feel like for me, and, like, from the female perspective, like, friends with benefits is just, like, being used, like, feeling, like, used for me. You know, I feel like a lot of times, too, with, like, friends with benefits type situations, like, guys forget about the friends part, right? And they just want the benefits of having someone to, like, hook up with or whatever, right? I feel like they forget about the friends part. Although, I feel like a lot of men in general have a lot of time, a hard time actually seeing women as people and wanting to be their friends and, you know, not just a sexual object. But that's a heavy topic and probably not something we have time for in this, like, last little bit. But just a thought I had. But yeah, Valentine's Day really is just a day, you know? It's like any other day. But I think it's important to love yourself, right? I mean, it's hard. It's not easy. Some days it's really hard, but I think it's important. And I don't know how Valentine's Day themed this episode was, but I feel like it kind of had a vibe, right? We talked about love. We talked about Taylor Swift. We talked about all the important bits and bads of how, like, TV should not be real life and TV is entertainment. And I stand by that. I definitely stand by that, that TV is entertainment and not real life. I think that's fair. But yeah, this was good. I had fun recording this. I want to keep doing this. I don't know if I'm going to do it every week or every other week or just whenever I'm feeling a spark of inspiration. But I want to keep doing this. It's fun. I hope people want to keep listening. It's good to get my thoughts out. I think it's good to talk through and think about things. I think it works out. And we'll end this episode by saying, like, I love all of you for listening. So I think you're wonderful. I think you're fabulous if you're listening to this. If you can handle my rambling for 30 minutes, like, you're a gem. You're a gem. Like, I had to do this in, like, 3 takes, so I can't even handle rambling for 30 minutes straight. So if you can handle it, you're a gem. I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a blast. I honestly can't even describe the feeling. But yeah, it feels really good to just, like, be at peace with everything, you know? At peace with myself, my body, the world. And just kind of to feel like when something is meant to happen to me, it'll happen. And that, like, as cheesy as it sounds, I guess maybe, like, true love is, like, worth the wait. I don't know. sounds a little bit after schoolish, but thank you for listening to this 8th episode of Hang with Lane. I hope you'll hang out with me again soon. Hopefully I can get an actual guest on here next time. Maybe I'll say that for like the 10th episode. That might be kind of fun. Might be kind of cool. Hard to say. But yeah, thanks for listening. I'll see you guys next time. Happy Valentine's Day. Love you all. And we're out.